broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of Afternoons is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. When we say we want to lose weight, we mean fat, not muscle. New studies show that up to 40% of the weight loss on the new meds is muscle, not fat. Keep your muscle, lose the fat. With Awaken 180, awaken180weightloss.com.
This is WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens.
And three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Hour number two, WEEI Afternoons at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series official truck of the Red Sox. It's 3 o'clock. We've been spending an hour praising the Boston Red Sox, talking to Alex Cora. It's all good times, good times. Well, now it's good time, 3 o'clock, for the three-point stance.
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Three hosts here on WEEI Afternoons, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Our order is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy-Stevens, then Ted Johnson. Andy, you get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
Indeed.
All right, your 60 seconds begin right now.
A few weeks ago, I was asked for my thoughts on the offensive line, one of two positions that I think we all agreed were critical for upgrades this offseason for the Patriots. And I said, they might be bad or worse than they were a year ago. Well, wide receiver was the other position. And the wide receiver position added Stephon Diggs. It added Kyle Williams, Mac Hollins. It brought back some guys that are in different roles or sort of battling for roles. Down at Gillette today, I was looking at that group, and I looked at Stephon Diggs, go-to guy. A lot of drills start with Drake May going right to Stephon Diggs on the first play. I think that's a good thing. My guy, Pop Douglas, a slot receiver in the Josh McDaniels system with a little bit of playmaking upside, maybe more than some of the traditional guys in that
position. Little run after catch?
Little run after catch. I saw him catching balls, making plays. Mac Hollins is on the field these days with cleats on and his frilly shirt that makes him look like a rocker in the WWE from the early 90s, Shawn Michaels style. He's making plays down the field. Kayshon Booty, I've talked about, looks pretty good to me. Even Javon Baker's come on a little bit. The offensive line, you know, I still have a ton of doubts and concern. The wide receiver position, I think it might surprise people with how good it is and some of the plays it's going to put up and numbers it's going to put up this year.
Good day.
How about that?
The wide receivers had an excellent day.
Yes.
They did.
And they've had in various permutations or whatever, good camp. Like you hear, Kyle Williams is flashing early. Diggs is flashing a little bit.
You know, it's just nice to see Mac Collins making plays.
Yeah, he's a bit living up to the every bit the target. Of course, he's easy to find because A, he's a big dude.
He looks smart.
He's got the hippie shirt. It looks like he bought it at some sort of jam band music festival as well. But Kayshon Booty, locked to make the team now, I think. Oh, Mac Collins?
No way. Booty? I can't say that.
I absolutely think he is.
You think so?
Kayshon Booty? I do.
Maybe.
Locke feels strong, but I think he's on the roster.
Yeah.
But either way, I almost don't care now which of the guys. It's kind of the opposite of the way I felt. Previously, it felt like no matter who the receivers are, I'm going to have questions. Now I'm like, it seems like they kind of have a core group here that I'm going to feel okay with the three guys that line up with Drake May and go out there on any given Sunday. So it could all be dead wrong. Maybe, I'll see other teams, watch the Bengals play, and like, oh, yeah, wait, we really still don't measure up to these teams with these elite receivers.
Measure them off of last year, though.
Better, significantly better. And that's my point.
That's it.
And you know who that matters to?
Ooh.
Drake May.
That's it.
He's got guys that I think he can throw to that should get open and catch the football.
Where's this team now compared to, at least speaking to last year? That's the question.
Significant strides forward in a lot of places. No doubt. Just not along the offensive line, the one place where I still have questions.
Yes, I know you do, but they even held their own at times today.
They were okay. I still, though, this whole idea of we're going to start three rookies potentially on the offensive line, because Morgan Moses, where art thou, Moses?
Not sure.
That's load not management.
No. Get an IV.
They seem to be managing his load quite a bit.
They are.
Quite a bit.
Meanwhile, though, again, steal of the draft keeps coming up. Every time people address or talk about Jared Wilson, he's holding ground.
Yeah.
He's holding ground, looking good.
And believe it or not, it doesn't sound like it, but you wouldn't think it based on his performance. But Demontre Jacobs is actually doing pretty good.
Yep.
And doing pretty good as a swing tackle.
And Marcus Bryant, who they reached for at the end of the draft, bigger guy. Crazy thing about him, long arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The oppo of the other guy that went really high.
Didn't have a perfect day. Got pushed back a couple times, but also didn't look like a disaster out there as well. And I think that all this experience they're all getting right now and with a joint practice, invaluable for these guys.
And a quick addendum before I pass the baton along here. Mac Hollins, I listened to him on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. And you guys know I've been a little snarky about the whole not wearing shoes thing.
You're a judge, a book by its cover guy.
A little bit. You know who else is? Mac Hollins. And I found that out in the interview because it all ties back to, remember we had a discussion a few weeks ago, he had gone to Australia to work out. Well, he has a guru crew from Australia. I think it's MMT they are, that helped him through an injury a few years ago. He's coming back from a groin surgery where he couldn't walk. Mm-hmm. He thought his career was over. Huh. These guys flew in. Mm-hmm. They got off the plane with no shoes on. And his quote was, and I looked at them like you probably look at me now. And then they fixed me. They did all these things, and they got me walking again, running again, getting back to football again. So he is all in to the cult, and the boys said it's a cult. And he goes, yeah, but sometimes the cult is right. You just got to join the right cult, basically.
Yeah, last time we had a cult in Foxborough, it involved Belichick yelling at Brady and saying he couldn't have his guy on the sideline. Well,
and it's really not much different than Alex Guerrero to Brady. He had some arm soreness, some different things. Guerrero started doing his thing. He believes in him.
I'm going to tell you, if you find somebody in your time in the NFL that you think helps you and makes you healthier and makes you a better football player, you will pay whatever, you will do whatever to make sure that you have their services whenever you need it.
Yeah, unless you're Deshaun Watson, then you just go.
Well, no, you didn't find somebody.
Find a new one.
You find 23 new ones. I told you a long time ago in the Dallas Cowboys Hard Knocks a long way back, I think it was Dave Campo was the coach, no less, that Zach Thomas was getting a massage from a guy. And in the interview, he said, this has been my guy for 20 years. And the only reason why I've been able to get through college with the Dolphins and now the Cowboys is by using the same guy. He knows what works for me.
I had a guy for 10 years. Two massages every week during the fall for 10 years.
First 10 minutes of that must have hurt like hell.
But the more you get, the less and less that is the case.
All right, Deadbolt.
Okay. Well said, I think. I think that was my name somewhere. Fitzy, are you ready?
You know what? Now seems like the right time.
Okay. Well, now you get 60 seconds and they start right now.
I, like Andy Hart, was very heartened, if you will, by the effort of the offense today at Patriots joint practices against the Commanders. The receivers did look good. Offensive line held their ground. Drake May, yeah, buddy. He's looking all the part. But I'm going to tell you, the defense didn't look that bad as well. Yeah, they got pushed around a little bit at times against some runs, but you're going up against the Commanders and Laramie Tunsil. But then they got into some one-on-ones. And they said they weren't going to do one-on-ones, but eventually the Patriots asked for them and Washington granted them. And let me tell you, folks, right now, that if he can play the way that he dominated today, Christian Barmore is not just going to be back, but he is going to be a dominant force on the Patriots defensive line, in the AFC, all over. People will be talking about him. Milton Williams did fine. A couple other guys didn't do very much. Keon White got a face full of turf, thanks to Laramie Tunsil at one point. But Christian Barmore, as Andy said to me before the show, took somebody's soul out of its body. And ended that guy's day. He looked dominant. He looked quick. He looked strong. He looked ready to go. Let us hope this blood clot issue is past him and that the guy that had 8 sacks over the final 8 games in 2023 and was a force to be reckoned with will be back along the lines in Mike Vrabel's defense.
Nick Allegretti is the man who Barmore took his
football. Allegretti is Italian for, I'm done.
Yep, he should have just turned around and be like, I can't.
I'm good.
Nope, this sport's not for me.
Should have pulled Avante Davis and just put up a social media post retiring right there. I mean, it was as lopsided a rep as I have ever seen on television, in person. And, you know, I know, Ted, you had your doubts, and understandably so.
Yep.
But his combination of speed and strength, Milton Williams looked fine out there, but Barmore is significantly bigger than Milton Williams and was faster.
But you do it again.
Well, and that's the problem.
I hope so.
That's the problem with him, is because he's far enough into his career, we shouldn't be highlighting, like, one-off plays, one-off reps against some guy that I've never heard of in practice kind of thing. Exactly. At this point, you need to be, you're big, you're strong, you're athletic, you're all these things.
Win.
Do it. Put it together and do it.
Couldn't agree more, buddy.
I know.
Couldn't agree more. I want to see that every time I go watch practice. That's the first practice all summer that I've seen where he stood out.
And Milton Williams might help him get some of those more favorable matchups. So he might get more of those Nick Allegretti type matchups, less double teams, things of that nature.
That's
that combo may bang buck.
He hasn't had a good defense. I mean, he hasn't had a defensive line where someone was on there with him.
No, it's been him and.
So no excuse not to, you know, unless the blood clots, which I will.
Oh, absolutely.
Bad.
That's a health issue. That's a separate from football issue. But if he's on the football field, we need to see that, like, I don't know, 30% of the time, one every three snaps,
brother.
Beat somebody.
So we're 2-for-2 on Patriots optimism.
Positivity
so far.
Here.
We have wide receiver optimism. We have Barmore optimism. And now we go to Ted Johnson, and I ask you, are you ready?
I'm ready, brother.
All right, your 60 seconds begin right
so
now.
So I drove all the way out to Foxborough to watch that practice for 2 hours, so I'm going to do my three-point stance on the Patriots training camp practice today and really just focus on Drake May. One of the things I was concerned or wanted to see yesterday when I talked about going and seeing today's practice was, how did Drake May compare to Jaden Daniels? How did those two look? Can I glean anything from that? And I'll say this, watching Drake May and Jaden Daniels today, I'll say this, Drake May is on the right track. He's on the right track. He's where he needs to be right now. He did throw an interception in the 2 minute, which is a little bit discouraging. The ball was tipped at the at the line of scrimmage. So take that in consideration, but man, he was connecting with DeMario Douglas. He had a few drop passes. He was 15 for 21, but again, with a few drop passes, he had a beautiful, beautiful back shoulder throw to Kate, the two plays of the camp, or really of the day. Three, if Trevion Henderson catches that ball in the back end zone, is the back shoulder throw to Kayshon Boutte in the high red zone. Beautiful pass. You cannot defend that pass. And then he had a boot to the right where he threw a touchdown pass about a 25-yarder to Matt Collins. Those were two beautiful plays. What I love is he's out running in the open field. They have plays designed to get him running. And there was also a play on the 5-yard line where it was an empty set. They only rush four. When you rush four, your rush lanes better be perfect. And theirs weren't. The Commanders, they left a big hole for Drake May just to run right through and score a touchdown. That'll happen just like that in the game if they rush four in that empty. I just like the decision-making, the running, the throwing. Drake May is on track.
And the four interceptions, whatever. We can dismiss all that.
We'll save that for a different segment. We're being positive here because I don't love the interception in the arguably most important part of practice, part of the field kind of thing. But let's stay positive for now. I like that you highlighted that run down in the red zone there, a 5-yard line, whatever it was, because there's different kind of QB runs. There's like the Tim Tebow practice QB run where you're like, this isn't real football. That wouldn't happen in a game. That run was what would happen in a game.
Mm-hmm.
They rush four. He drops back. He sees it just open up like we see Jalen Hurts do or any of these guys. And he even did the little finger roll, the little into
Josh
the end
Allen.
Zone.
There's your Josh it. Allen right
well,
there.
Well, it's his too. He did it last year.
Yep.
That's right.
His thing. So I thought he had a really nice day. I didn't think he was the best quarterback on the field because the other one that measured up to my eyeball test, seeing Jaden Daniels in
Josh
person,
Johnson.
Josh Johnson was actually good.
He is officially the
17th team.
He is officially the Rich Hill of quarterbacks.
But
he's played for everybody.
Jaden Daniels, I thought, was really impressive to see him in person. But Drake May belonged on the field with him.
No doubt.
And that's all that mattered. The Patriots belonged on the field with the Commanders. Drake May belonged on the field with Jaden Daniels, like that just superficial measuring stick, they were playing the same sport. They were kind of on the same level, whereas a year ago, totally different circumstance because the Eagles, best team in football, whatever, you didn't measure up when you had your joint.
And this goes back to, Ted, a few weeks ago when I watched the second episode of Forged in Foxborough, and they had a cold open with a rep where Drake did the exact same thing that we saw today on that 20-yard dime in the corner to Matt Collins, where Vrabel praised him for staying a thrower as long as possible, before just like taking off. Like last year, he may have taken off, or maybe that's his gut instinct. But to stay with the play, stay with the play, and let his guy come open before considering taking off, that shows just a step in maturity, I believe, that is going to be huge in his growth.
I see a lot of maturity in his game. I do. So, and Josh McDaniels is a big reason for it.
Yeah, and I think Mike Vrabel, like the leadership, yep. And I'm not saying leadership doesn't come naturally for Drake May, but maybe the leadership that Vrabel wants to see.
Vrabel wants what he had with Tom, which is a cocky, confident, boisterous,
right.
A hyper kind of, you know, wild man out there.
Right.
You know, just come out of your shell a little bit.
And I also, so listening to May talk about this, because that's gone viral. They've put it out on all their things. Vrabel tell, go over there and celebrate with your guy. And May is like, I get what he wants me to do, but it's also different on a practice field in August than it is on Gillette Stadium game turf on like the natural energy and celebration. Cause on the practice field, he knows another rep's coming.
Yeah. But it's also, if you don't practice it, it won't
feel
as comfortable in the game.
I get it.
Practice if celebrations in practice.
Yep. I get it. And I do think they are managing that, pushing him to be a little bit more of an energetic vocal leader or whatever. But no, I have no, other than we'll see, because we just haven't seen him do it. He is developing in a way that I think everybody who wants and thinks he's going to be the good quarterback for the New England Patriots should be enjoying it.
Can we also quickly talk about how much faster in person Travion Henderson is than the entire rest of the team?
Oh yeah, he's a playmaker. He's a weapon. We're not going down that road again. He's a weapon, except he needs to catch the ball in the end zone.
Catch the ball when they throw it to you. Like when
he dropped two today.
Right in your hands.
That's not great.
He's going to have opportunities. So what people understand is he dropped a touchdown pass in the back of the left end zone. He's going to have a lot of one-on-ones. It was against Bobby Wagner.
I was going to say, I think he beat Bobby Wagner.
So that is not a fair fight. And so he's going to get a lot of opportunities to make touchdown catches on the wheel routes and H-angle routes. All season long.
Yeah,
he's got to be able to catch the ball when he has that.
Yeah, you can see Josh already probably thinking, like, I got to start designing more plays for this guy.
Because
if I get his speed into space and he holds on to the ball, he's going to be a problem.
I think, and we've talked a little bit about this, Ted, this offense, there's going to be a lot of stuff at or around the line of scrimmage between the running backs and Pop Douglas and some of that, and then some deep balls. I'm not sure how good they are right now at sort of the intermediate stuff, although we did get a few seam routes from the tight ends.
Mario
had an over back
Washington there. Forgot to cover the middle of the field like five times and left Hooper and Henry.
They were like, open. Hooper, you're still in the league?
And he's like just hauling it in and taking it down. Like, they weren't great over the middle of the field. And it's what's nice to see is that they took advantage of it. Like, oh, they forgot to cover the middle of the field? Hooper, Henry, Henry, Hooper.
It's the easiest throw to make. You know, tight ends over the middle, slot receivers over the middle. So
take advantage of those middle linebackers.
It's you should have the advantage.
Yes.
So, yes, take advantage of those guys.
All right, gentlemen, that's going to wrap up today's three-point stance, which, again, is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you took advantage of a middle linebacker, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777.
Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we don't often talk about media mergers or content or behind-the-scenes contracts, but there was a major development this week between the National Football League and ESPN. It's going to involve the content you consume, how you consume it, and also maybe the coverage you get from the worldwide leader. ESPN, NFL, getting in bed together. How's it going to affect you? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, with less pressure because the manager's not watching, it's Dan Ball with What's Trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. Red Sox outfielder Roman Anthony and the club have finalized an 8-year, $130 million contract extension. The deal includes a club option and will keep Anthony under team control through 2034. From ESPN's Jeff Passan, Anthony's deal with the Red Sox will start in 2026 and includes significant escalators that could take the maximum value of the deal up to $230 million. Depending on where he finishes in the AL Rookie of the Year voting this year, it could buy out three or four years of free agency. The Red Sox won their seventh straight game last night. They beat the Royals 6-2. Garrett Crochet won his 13th game of the season. The Red Sox go for the sweep tonight. First pitch at 7:10. Dustin May will make his Red Sox debut. And here is the lineup for tonight is Roman Anthony. He's Rich, leading off in left field. Alex Bregman at third. Trevor Story at short. Jaron Duran is in center with Roman Gonzalez at first. Willy Abreu in right. Masataka Yoshida is your DH. Seidon Rafael at second. And Connor Wong is your catcher, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to the game on WEEI-FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan begins at 6:10, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. Day 12 of Patriots training camp was a joint practice with the Washington Commanders. The Patriots take on the Commanders in their preseason opener on Friday night with kickoff set for 7:30 at Gillette Stadium. And from yesterday, the Celtics traded newly acquired Georges Niang and two future second-round picks to the Jazz for rookie R.J. Lewis Jr. In a related move, the Celtics have agreed to a one-year, $3.3 million deal with free agent forward Chris Boucher. Visit the 99 restaurant Monday through Wednesday for their newest big deal meal, the crispy fried twin catch with North Atlantic cod and crispy shrimp, just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday. You gotta love the nines. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live from Fenway Park coming up right after this.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Well, one of the most popular elements of NFL programming has been Red Zone. It's a staple for NFL fans. What is that going to look like now under this new partnership?
Well, that'll actually stay the same. It'll continue to be produced right here in this building. It will be the NFL Red Zone. I don't think fans will see any difference to that. Obviously, in the context of that, though, ESPN purchased the Red Zone name, and they will be able to utilize that for other sports, college football and other things. And I think that could be an exciting thing for our fans also to see a Red Zone maybe in college football or other sports. That's something that they now own and have the ability to do that. But as far as Red Zone, NFL Red Zone, there won't be any changes for our fans.
That was NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell talking about the partnership between ESPN and the NFL.
I think a partnership for college would
you
be
like that.
Insanely helpful.
That one's actually even worse than the NFL because it could go from like when do those like weird.
He might have to start Thursday night and go till Saturday at midnight.
Yep. You could spend
forever.
Oh my God! On the couch.
You can't be just one guy like it is for the.
Yeah, NFL. No.
You'll have Middle Tennessee against Central Florida on Thursday night. Boise State on Friday night.
But Matching.
You know, for it,
Saturdays will
be lit.
I'm more
of a French fan of the college football. I mean, I'm more of pro guy. But if you just had a Red Zone for college football, I would be more engaged in college football.
Yes. If you're just seeing touchdowns, big games. Plays,
it'll be 13 straight hours.
And it'll help help you learn players and guys that are going to the NFL and Heisman nominees and all those things. But the issue here that we want to talk about on WEEI Afternoons is the fact that ESPN has reached a deal with the NFL to acquire NFL Network and other media assets, including the Red Zone name and all of that, with the NFL taking a 10% equity stake in the NFL. I mean, in ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Disney. That's the big company that runs everything, ABC,
yep.
10%, Disney, the parks.
I'm guessing is a lot of money.
$2 to $3 billion is what they are estimating right now, the analysts.
Nice change if you can get it.
Yeah, not bad. But the issue for me is, so the worldwide leader in sports, ESPN, whether you love them or hate them, they're still the big fish. And they cover the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to keep covering the NFL?
Adding games.
Covering the NFL or promoting the NFL? Aren't the same.
I almost feel like they're already the promotion.
Like Don Vanata, guys like that who are supposed to be investigative journalists, are they going to be allowed to investigate the NFL, the owners, the players, Roger Goodell?
Because there'd be a big rug in Bristol that they're just going
to... Wait, they still do that? I mean, there's still critical...
There is some.
Really?
It's not a ton. Okay. You know who this helps?
It's to me, you won't even notice it.
Kathleen Kennedy.
No, it helps like the Pablo Torres of the world, who are the independent, fledgling, building their brand journalists who don't have to answer to the NFL, don't have to answer to ESPN and Disney and that whole corporate structure because they don't work for you.
I got to be honest, this feels a little big brothery futuristic. Like this is, it's the exact opposite of when media companies started trying to come together and other corporations were banding together for solidarity or profit 100 and something years ago. And the government, FTC, et cetera, had all these antitrust and anti-monopoly laws because we wanted to make it fair for people to do business the right way. And now you're telling me that we're going to get fair and balanced coverage of the company is going to be. So Disney now owns the NFL, but the NFL also owns part of Disney, and Disney owns ESPN, which also now owns the Red Zone and the Red Zone brand and however far they want to push it. And the WWE is also going to be exclusively streamed from said platform as well. So does that mean John Cena is going to be in Star Wars movies? And
oh, absolutely. The synergy, Roger, the cross promotion.
Yeah, Roger Goodell is going to be on the Red Zone. What are we doing?
I don't care about that as much as
it's another crazy. Level.
So Ted Johnson, you played in an era where gambling was a no-no.
Correct.
Now, have you ever heard of ESPN Bet?
I have.
Oh, so ESPN is in the gambling business.
Correct.
And the NFL is part of ESPN now.
Correct.
So the NFL is in the gambling business even more than it's been in the gambling business.
Now more than ever, brother.
Like, it's just...
You were saying hypocritical?
A little bit.
So wait.
That's the NFL, though, bro.
But see, what's going to happen? A player, Ted, is going to open up their phone, and they're going to say, oh, I thought I was opening my Disney Plus app. I didn't realize I was opening my ESPN Better Draft. Like, it's all getting way too close, way too convenient.
I will say this. I'm not as worried about that stuff. It is what it is. To me, it's... Is them partnering with ESPN going to make my viewing of the NFL better? And I think it will. There's going to be more games. I don't want to watch games on Amazon, even though I have Amazon. I would rather just flip to ESPN than I would have to watch it on Hulu or.
But I don't know that this is going to eliminate the Amazon. It's going to eliminate some of the NFL Network and the different things there. But
which is it's easier to find ESPN than it is even the NFL Network
for now. Although they are using this to backbone.
And I've never thought the NFL Network was a good product. I never did like any of the studio shows. Well, I don't think
early Good Morning Football was kind of fun.
Shot at Mike Giardi across the bow there. Wow. We'll talk to him on Friday.
Let me ask you this, though. Like, you, Captain Cord, the guy that actually still has cable in the room.
Damn right.
I cut it years ago, but now I'm wondering if I even need the streamers that I have, like a YouTube TV, because if ESPN is going to be my exclusive home for NFL Network, Red Zone, ESPN, The Ocho, and WWE, and Disney Plus, and Hulu, the hell else do I need anything for?
Well, I'm right there. So $29.99 is going to be the new ESPN app, streaming app. I assume you want to watch the Red Sox, so that's $30 for Nesson. So you're up to $60 right off the bat for those two things.
That's expensive, bro.
Plus my internet.
Plus your internet is, what, $90 or something?
$60.
Okay, $60. Yep. You're up to $120, and you don't really have everything. You don't have all those other channels. You got to find ways.
I need Netflix. I need Max. I'm at $200 and I don't even have the news.
Or you could just go back to cable. You could just go back to what I have. So it's interesting. The other thing I did think of from a visual perspective, like Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport have been kind of the two big information guys, one on ESPN, one on NFL Network.
They're going to have Wakandan tribute fighting to see who dies and who keeps doing.
Are they going to stay in those roles? Will they be merged together?
Will they share information?
Right. Like how... Remember they used to do, Chris Mortensen and Schefter would do segments together, kind of bounce together, off each other. Are they going to keep it all separate? Will I still have the stream of Schefter tweets, the stream of Rap Sheet tweets?
Mm-mm. I'm sure.
Or they can fight.
I'm sure.
And who are they giving the information to now? Like, there's some weird layers to this that
But to be surprised that the NFL might actually, you know, buy entities that would basically guarantee they'll never say anything bad about you. That's nothing new. That's what the NFL does.
Yeah.
And here's Pat McAfee on College Game Day. Oh my gosh, our guest selector, Cody Rhodes, who just happens to be Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, they're already doing that. And you mentioned it, Fitzy. ESPN is doing a lot these days because they did do the deal with WWE for, I believe they call them premium live events now. They're not pay-per-views anymore. They're premium live events.
PLEs?
Yeah, please. Yes.
I don't know if you guys saw this floating around too from Pat McAfee. He called the executive level at ESPN in a tweet today, mid-level powerless bum-ass suits at ESPN, saying that he's worried they will muddy the product specific to the WWE. So that's going well as well.
Oh, so he's worried about the WWE perspective.
He is, yes.
Because he's in both of these worlds.
Wait a minute. Is McAfee on ESPN?
Yes.
He is, but it's a very strange... But Ted, here's the crazy thing about McAfee. They give him $17 million a year. Used to be all money that they generated from sponsorship, YouTube, CPM, etc. He has a 5-year, $85 million deal. Everything is paid out of his pocket. So it's a strange arrangement in that ESPN buys the rights, kind of like the same way Goodell just said, you have the right to use the Red Zone name and the right to run the Red Zone. ESPN is allowed to on YouTube and broadcast media, run McAfee, but the deal was he could basically say and do what he wants, which is why he kind of flies off the hip and calls the people that he supposedly works for bum-ass mid-level executives.
I also think he feels like, okay, if they fire me, I'll can do it on my own. Like, in this day and age, I can go independent and I'll have a show and I have a guest and I'll have eyeballs and I'll make money.
I don't see that contract being renewed whenever it's up. No. I don't know when that deal is
except
done.
Except he has brought their cum level, the age, down significantly, which is exactly what they want, because that's who spends money.
Well, and that's also going to happen naturally now that they're going to a streaming setup.
With Baby Yoda on Monday Night Football?
Yeah. No, I mean, I know you're very excited about the cross promotion between Disney and the NFL.
I'm going to keep working.
Star Wars and everything that goes into it.
But I like the Monday Night product better than I ever have.
Oh, yeah.
They're awesome. Do you like that broadcast team?
Yeah. It's like, okay, you guys got a professional.
Yep.
I mean, Sunday night was, was always to me the marquee night. Now, you know, Monday night, you know, with the, Troy Aikman. I think those guys are excellent. I do.
Oh, they're pros.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, this whole thing, and it's all money. You can boil it down to one simple thing, right? Money and power, money and control. And the NFL controls virtually everything.
Yep.
Like, I would have, if you had said this to me, I don't know business, but if you had just said 5 years ago, oh, by the way, down the road, the NFL is going to take a 10% stake in Disney. And I'm going to be like, Mickey Mouse?
Yeah.
Like Mickey Mouse and the parks and the movies and Star Wars and all of that, the NFL is going to have 10% of that.
Every time somebody rides
Crazy.
Jungle
it was an
Cruise,
odd marriage to even ESPN and Disney come together.
Yes,
you're like, wait, what?
Right,
did I miss it.
And they own. They also own ABC as well.
Right.
So like every time you go to the park, like Andy, you take the family on a big trip down to Disney. Every time you ride Tron, you're actually putting money in Roger Goodell's pocket.
And
that
Robert
is insane.
Right.
It's just insane.
But don't you think
Troy Aikman on Only Murders in the Building
knows what they're doing? I feel like the NFL knows how to throw halftime shows. The NFL knows how to throw a big event. The NFL knows how to market their players on like hockey and like. Don't you trust the NFL to make a product and promote a product at the highest levels?
Yes, I do. And you just I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier. The other leagues. So Major League Baseball had its falling out with ESPN about not proper coverage, promotion, different things. If I'm one of the other major sports, I'm not a partner with ESPN. Like
they'd want to be, though.
I'd want to be. So am I going to get fair and balanced coverage and treatment? And
no one cares about that anymore, Andy. What do you keep going back to?
I know. This is literally, no, saying, we live in the...
I mean, that's the kind of... That's where you look at the story, and for guys like us, we're going to go to that. No one cares about...
No, I'm talking about the players.
Objectivity.
ESPN
anymore.
Is powerful. So if I'm Jason Tatum was at Patriots practice today.
Yeah.
Little does he know that Patriots practice matters to ESPN. Why? Because they're in business together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Jason Tatum, and I'm trying to grow the game of basketball.
Yeah.
And I know to do that, I need ESPN. They're a platform. There's a lot of eyeballs there. Am I going to continue to get as much coverage as I could possibly get from the NBA to help grow the game of basketball in a financial sense, in a global sense?
I don't think you think Tatum's losing any sleep over the NFL.
It was an example. I didn't mean specifically him.
I mean players in general, big picture. The NBA is now on the outside looking in like MLB.
They've always
with
been.
ESPN.
Bananas. Always been. Nothing
ESPN
new.
And NFL are like buddies. They're kissing
get,
cousins.
Get better than. Get, be a better product.
Ooh.
Compete with the NFL.
Tough guy NFL
well,
guy
you think,
over there.
You think the NBA should be acting as if they're better than the NFL?
No.
It's not even close.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And that's where ESPN and the NFL, especially the NFL, are playing like I play poker and I'm terrible at poker, but when I get a lot of chips, then you can just bully people. That's what they're doing.
The NFL is powerful.
They have a big pile of chips.
Entity.
And they're big tobacco level power.
They are huge.
And we should mention along those lines, these always go with, they throw that little must pass regulatory approval by the government.
Sure.
I don't know if anybody.
And the owners
have.
Too.
Yep. Yeah. So I don't know if there would.
Anyone that is going to get kicked off late night TV to make this go through?
Well, the only thing I would throw in there, just a weird curveball wild card. They say Trump is still pissed that he couldn't own the Bills, right?
Yep.
So Trump has power. He's the president right now. Is there any way he could throw a wrench in the NFL's plans of taking 10% of ESPN?
Get rid of the Pagulas.
Couldn't he block it? FCC crap?
Pretty sure. Much can he, do whatever he wants to.
He made Skydance. He made Skydance and Paramount happen, and that was an multi-billion-dollar merger.
So that's a little. I wonder if Trump could have a say in the NFL-ESPN partnership. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we talked about it earlier. Braintree Little League Baseball is rolling. They are pitching, as Alex Cora noted. They don't give up runs. They are one game away from potentially a trip to the Little League World Series. We're going to talk to their manager, Frank Fazzoli, next here, Braintree Baseball, WEEI Afternoons.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons back here at Fenway Park talking baseball, but not the Red Sox. We did that earlier. Talked to Alex Cora. Now we go to the phone line to talk to Frank Fazzoli and his assistant coach PJ Kippenham, the leaders of the Braintree Little League Baseball team that is one win away from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Guys, how we doing?
We doing great.
Doing very good.
Okay, this is surreal, Andy, for me, because not only are we talking positively about my hometown, Braintree, Massachusetts, which never makes the news for anything other than Jabril Peppers has an incident outside the South Shore Plaza or something about the mall or traffic or et cetera, but not only is Frank doing a world-class job on this undefeated Braintree team that is one win away from representing the Northeast region in the Little League World Series, but his first base coach, PJ Kippenham, happens to be the younger brother of my best friend, George, on top of all of that as well.
Small world here, boys. So tell me about this baseball team. Why are we so dominant? I see other teams getting beat 10-0. Is it Alex Cora-like pitching? Is that what we're rolling with here?
Yeah, I mean, this team's special. They've been together since they were, 7-8 years old. They've been plagued with a few years of injuries, and this was our first year that everyone's, pretty much healthy. We have, our pitching, we have three dominant, starters. We have unbelievable bullpen, and, literally, pitching's everything. And then our lineup, 1 through 12, produces. They all hit up and down the lineup.
How's the coaching?
I mean, when you have kids like this, it makes it easy, of course. But we've been practicing every single day, this year alone for the last 6-7 weeks, 2 hours a day. If we're not playing a game, we're practicing.
If I had to describe our coach, and this is PJ here, I would say, Sean Needle is our third coach. And one word, I would just say elite. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Especially, hasn't Chad Gauthreau been helping as well? Small note on that one. Used to be my mom's plumber.
This is circle of
like
friends.
A family. It's like it's Fitzy's family reunion. It's unbelievable. So guys,
Nick is Braintree. He'll always be from Braintree, even though he lives in Newton now. He's always stuck with that Braintree, being from Braintree. But now he's actually happy to claim that. But Chad's been great. His son's on the team. When you get deep into the districts, they only allow the three coaches. So Chad was, great at throwing BP. He's, still a presence around the team, but he's great at plumbing also.
So, boys, I've been following your every move. You're making the hometown, the South Shore, so proud. Now the state is behind you. Now the region ultimately could get behind you if you're just one win away against Bedford tomorrow as well. I read that you guys have played together since the kids were 8 years old. How big a factor is that continuity in these kids forging a bond, and you guys always like basically being a baseball family now on the verge of something so special?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's everything. I've said that over and over. It's, when I talk about like this team, it's like, our boys, we've watched them growing into young men, teenagers now. When they used to listen to us all the time at 8, now they, it might be a little bit different, but, they still lock in. And I mean, they're incredible. All of them, they're just committed. They've given up summers. They've given up, kids are all summer at the beaches and pools. These kids, we have a, no pool, no beach policy on game day. So they miss a lot, but they lock into this. They know how important it is. And they're just, they're seeing the dividends now.
So I've always wanted to ask a Little League coach this, because we watch these games on ESPN and you guys are mic'd up and it's big production. Do you ever worry about being mic'd up? Because I did a lot of coaching, and I'll be honest, I may have said some things under my breath that I would not want on the internet or national TV. Do you worry about that?
I think there's a reason that I'm not mic'd up because they would definitely need the 5 second delay on me. I just get so excited. But Frank is very very well spoken and much more reserved with his language. But you know, I try to get the kids pumped up and they can't mic me up. But people have been asking for it.
PJ, well, I would pay for that premium channel if you guys get to the Little League World Series, boys. PJ and I went to the game in 2008 after the Pats lost to the Giants, and some colorful language was shared that day, PJ, that we saw Tom Brady go down as well. And I try not to remember the rest of that.
Tom went down with the ACL.
Yeah.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yes. But I also want to ask you, what's been the key to helping the kids stay calm? Like, they're not just like representing Braintree or even like Massachusetts now. Like, the ESPN is covering the games. The other night, Carl Ravitch and Tim Kirkjian were on showing highlights of a game and called you guys a wagon. How do you guys like keep the kids calm and make sure like they stay, you know, humble throughout the process?
I mean, these kids, that's what's so special about them. I mean, we see teams, we've played teams across the state, I mean, everywhere. And we see the fair share that, you know, the cocky teams, you know, and these guys are just the most humble players I've ever been around. You know, I've been around club teams, everything. And every single one of them is the exact same. And they don't get stressed out. They're just, I mean, they're sitting in the barracks right now playing Xbox and eating snacks, and you would think it's the first game in districts.
Yeah, I think the parents and the coaches, like, we get more stressed out than the kids. The kids have just been so even keeled this whole ride. It's been real refreshing, to tell you the truth.
Well, boys, listen, you're not just, like I said, representing the South Shore or Braintree and all those towns there. It's been great to see South Shore, the Southside Tavern and other places filling up to watch the games be streamed and everything else. Now you're going to potentially represent New England if you win tomorrow, making Massachusetts proud. We talked to Red Sox manager Alex Cora a little over an hour ago and asked him for some advice for you guys, and here's what he had to say.
Keep doing what you're doing. I mean, keep pitching. That's the most important thing. And rooting for you guys, and don't change a thing, you know, and hopefully they get to Williamsport, which is, a great experience. We were there a few years ago, and it's amazing what they do there, and it's a huge sermon.
That's Red Sox manager Alex Cora wishing good luck to the Braintree Little League team, one win away from Williamsport. Before we let you guys go, any social media handle, website, GoFundMe page, anything for fundraising like that?
Yeah, I just want to say it's Braintree American. There's two leagues in Braintree, but we're Braintree American. And Braintree, we're definitely representing Braintree, but it's Braintree American Little League for sure.
Okay, Braintree American Little League. Any socials or a GoFundMe to raise money, or can we do something if you guys end up going? Let us know, okay?
Well, you can always send us money, Nick. We'll take it.
All right, guys, good luck with the game, and hopefully we'll see the roll continue. That's Frank Fazzoli and his assistant coach, DJ.
PJ.
Of the Braintree American Little League.
Braintree American Little League.
Apparently they're rivals with whatever the other one is called.
Braintree National. Yeah.
That's a heated rivalry. You don't want to get in the middle of that, so that's why he clarified that. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we have to continue to talk about Patriots training camp practices. There were fights. There was a bloody coach. There was a lot going on in Foxborough, and we were there to chronicle it. More Patriots practice reaction next with the Commanders here on WEEI Afternoons.